A few hours later, in the small town of Dogbend, down on the plains, the citizens threw a witch into the river with her arms and legs tied together. This sort of thing never happened in the mountains, where witches had respect, but down on the wide plains there were still people dumb enough to believe the nastier stories. Besides, there wasn't much to do in the evenings. However, it probably wasn't often that the witch was given a cup of tea and some biscuits before her ducking. It had happened here because the people of Dogbend did it by the book. The book was called Magavenatio Obtusis, witch hunting for dumb people. The townspeople didn't know how the book had arrived. It had just turned up one day on a shelf in one of the shops. They knew how to read, of course. You had to have a certain amount of reading and writing to get on in the world, even in Dogbend. But they didn't trust books much, or the kind of people who read them. This one, though, was a book on how to deal with witches. It looked pretty authoritative, too, without too many long, and therefore untrustworthy, words like marmalade. At last, they told one another, this is what we need. This is a sensible book. Okay, it isn't what you'd expect, but remember that witch last year? We ducked her in the river and then tried to burn her alive, only she was too soggy and got away. Let's not go through that again. They paid particular attention to this bit. It is very important, having caught your witch, not to harm her in any way. Yet. On no account set fire to her. This is an error beginners often fall into. It just makes the witch mad, and she comes back even stronger. As everyone knows, the other way to get rid of a witch is to throw her into a river or pond. This is the best plan. First, imprison her overnight in a moderately warm room and give her as much soup as she asks for. Carrot and lentil might do, but for best results we recommend leek and potato made with a good beef stock. This has been proven to seriously harm her magical powers. Do not give her tomato soup, it will make her very powerful. To be on the safe side, put a silver coin in each of her boots. She will not be able to pull the coins out because they will burn her fingers. Provide her with warm blankets and a pillow. This will trick her into going to sleep. Lock the door and see that no one enters. About 1 hour before dawn, go into the room. Now, you might think the way to do this would be to rush in shouting, nothing could be further from the truth. Tiptoe in gently, leave a cup of tea by the sleeping witch, tiptoe back to the doorway, and cough quietly. This is important. If awakened suddenly, she could get very nasty indeed. Some authorities recommend chocolate biscuits with the tea, others say that ginger biscuits will be enough. If you value your life, do not give her plain biscuits because sparks will fly out of her ears. When she awakes, recite this powerful mystic rune which will stop her from turning into a swarm of bees and flying away. Iti sapitiae amanas. When she has finished the tea and biscuits, tie her hands and feet in front of her with rope using number one bosun's knots, and throw her in the water. Important safety note. Do this before it starts getting light. Do not stay to watch. Of course, this time some people did, and what they saw was the witch sinking and not coming up again, while her wicked pointy hat floated away. Then they went home for breakfast. In this particular river, nothing much happened for several minutes more. Then the pointy hat started to move toward a thick patch of reeds. It stopped there and rose very slowly. A pair of eyes peered out from underneath the brim. When she was sure that there was no one about, Miss Perspicacia Tick, teacher and witchfinder, crawled up the bank on her stomach and then legged it away at high speed into the woods just as the sun came up. She'd left a bag with a clean dress and some fresh underwear stuck in a badger's set, along with a box of matches. She never carried matches in her pocket if there was a danger of being caught, in case it gave people ideas. Well, she thought, as she dried out in front of a fire, things could have been worse. Thank goodness the village still had someone left who could read, or else she would have been in a pretty pickle. Maybe it was a good idea that she'd had the book printed in big letters. It was, in fact, Miss Tick who had written Witch Hunting for Dumb People, and she made sure that copies of it found their way into those areas where people still believed that witches should be burned or drowned. Since the only witch ever likely to pass through these days was Miss Tick herself, it meant that if things did go wrong, She'd get a good night's sleep and a decent meal before being thrown into the water. The water was no problem at all to Miss Tick, who had been to the Quirm College for Young Ladies, where you had to have an icy dip every morning to build moral fibre. And a number one bosun's knot was very easy to undo with your teeth, even under water. Oh yes, she thought, as she emptied her boots, and she'd got 2 silver sixpences too. Really, the people of the village of Dogbend were getting very stupid indeed. Of course, that's what happened when you got rid of your witches. A witch was just someone who knew a bit more than you did. That's what the name meant. And some people didn't like anyone who knew more than they did, so these days the wandering teachers and the travelling librarians steered clear of the place. The way things were going, if the people of Dogbend wanted to throw stones at anyone who knew more than them, they'd soon have to throw them at the pigs. The place was a mess. Unfortunately, there was a girl aged 8 there who was definitely showing promise, and Miss Tick dropped in sometimes to keep an eye on her. Not as a witch, obviously, because although she liked a cold dip in the morning, you could have too much of a good thing. She disguised herself as a humble apple seller or a fortune teller. Witches don't usually do fortune telling because if they did, they'd be too good at it. People don't want to know what's really going to happen, only that it's going to be nice. But witches don't add sugar. Unfortunately, the spring on Miss Tick's stealth hat had gone wrong while she was walking down the main street, and the point had popped up. Even Miss Tick hadn't been able to talk her way out of that one. Oh well, she'd have to make other arrangements now. Witch-finding was always dangerous. You had to do it, though. A witch growing up all alone was a sad and dangerous child. She stopped and stared at the fire. Why had she just thought about Tiffany aching? Why now? Working quickly, she emptied her pockets and started to shamble. Shambles worked. That was about all you could say about them for certain. You made them out of some string and a couple of sticks and anything you had in your pocket at the time. They were a witch's equivalent of those knives with 15 blades and 3 screwdrivers and a tiny magnifying glass and a thing for extracting earwax from chickens. You couldn't even say precisely what they did, although Miss Tick thought that they were a way of finding out what things the hidden bits of your own mind somehow knew. You had to make a shamble from scratch every time, and only from things in your pockets. There was no harm in having interesting things in your pockets, though, just in case. After less than a minute, Miss Tick had crafted a shamble out of 1 12-inch ruler, 1 bootlace, 1 piece of second-hand string, some black thread, 1 pencil, 1 pencil sharpener, a small stone with a hole in it, a matchbox containing a mealworm called Roger, along with a scrap of bread for him to eat, because every shamble must contain something living. About 1/2 a packet of Mrs. Sheargold's lubricated throat lozenges, a button. It looked like a cat's cradle, or maybe the tangled strings of a very strange puppet. Miss Tick stared at it, waiting for it to read her. Then the ruler swung around, the throat sweets exploded in a little cloud of red dust, the pencil shot away and stuck in Miss Tick's hat, and the ruler was covered in frost. That was not supposed to happen.